What does it mean to experience a deadly epidemic?
In recent months, people have struggled with this question, but it's not a new question. Welcome to Experiencing Epidemics podcast. We are Gaspar Jakovac,
Jorge Diaz Ceballos,
and Ian Hathaway, and we want to explore this question as historians by delving into personal narratives drawn from the long history of people's encounters with epidemics.
We do so thanks to the contributions of scholars based at the European University Institute and beyond.
This project is brought to you as part of the COVID-19 Knowledge Hub of the European University Institute. Enjoy the show.
Hello everyone, my name is Gaspar Jakovac, and on today's show I'll be hosting Professor Anne Thompson. We'll be talking about how the fear of cultural and religious otherness can easily mingle with people's anxieties about infectious disease. Sounds familiar? Stay tuned to find out more about how in the 18th century France, plague, the scourge of humanity, was used rhetorically to reinforce anti-Muslim prejudice. Our today's guest, Anne Thompson, is Professor Emerita of Intellectual History at the European University Institute. She has published widely on the intellectual history of the long 18th century, including on the debates about the natural history of mankind and on the European views of the Muslim world. She's particularly interested in the circulation of ideas and information, intellectual networks and translation. Her recent books include Bodies of Thought, Science, Religion and the Soul in the Early Enlightenment, and L'âme des Lumières, le débat sur l'être humain entre religion et science Angleterre-France. In the final months of 1782, Constantin-François Chasseboeuf, known as Comte de Volnay, set out on a voyage to the Middle East. He spent the following 3 years traveling Egypt and Syria, at the time provinces of the Ottoman Empire. Volnay, a historian, a philosopher, and an anti-religious thinker, was a vocal critic of Islam in general, and the Ottomans in particular. On his return to France, Volney gathered his notes and wrote two books which draw extensively on his voyages. In the English translation they are called Travels Through Syria and Egypt, published in 1787, and Considerations on the War with the Turks, published a year later in 1788. First book offers an extremely hostile account of the Ottoman Empire, emphasizing the misery and desolation caused by despotic Ottoman rule, which, in his opinion, discouraged agriculture and despised learning. Volney's scathing account was written in a long tradition of narratives which saw the Turks steeped in ignorance, barbarism, and fanaticism. While many factors contributed to such unfavorable Western portrayals of the traditional enemy, one accusation, which regularly appears in such narratives, seems particularly curious and unexpected. While largely extinct in Europe, the plague was endemic in the Ottoman Empire. Writers like Volney were keen to use this fact against the Turks.
Some persons have attempted to establish an opinion that the plague is of Egyptian origin. But this supposition, founded on vague prejudice, seems to be disproven by facts. The European merchants who have been settled for many years in Alexandria concur with the Egyptians in declaring that the plague never proceeds from the interior of the country, but first makes its appearance on the coast, at Alexandria. They further observe that it is invariably preceded by the arrival of some vessel coming from Smyrna or Constantinople, and that if the plague has been violent in one of these cities during the summer, the danger is the greater for themselves the following winter. It appears certain that it really originates from Constantinople, where it is perpetuated by the absurd negligence of the Turks. This is carried so far that they publicly sell the effects of persons dead of that disorder. The ships which go to Alexandria never fail to carry furs or woolen cloths purchased on these occasions, which they expose to sale in the bazaar of the city, and thereby spread the contagion. As soon as it is confirmed, the European merchants shut themselves and their domestics up in their khans and have no further external communication with the city. It will easily be imagined what a tiresome state of imprisonment this must be. It continues for 3 or 4 months, during which time they have no other amusement than walking, in the evening, on the terraces or playing at cards. The doctrine of predestination, and still more the barbarism of the government, have hitherto prevented the Turks from attempting to guard against this destructive disorder. The success, however, of the precautions taken by the Franks has begun to make some impression on many of them. The Christians of the country who traffic with our merchants would be disposed to shut themselves up like them, but this they cannot do without the authority of the port.
Hello, Anne.
Hello.
Thank you so much for agreeing to this interview. I wanted to start our conversation by asking you about why you chose these particular sources. What do you find fascinating about them, or how you came across them?
Well, I've actually been working for quite a long time, over many years, about European views of the Ottoman Empire and the Muslim world much more generally, mainly in the 18th century, although I do go back a bit further sometimes. And in this period, I've always found this period interesting because there is a variety of attitudes towards the East in general and the Muslim world in particular, from sometimes quite sympathetic to much more hostile. And it always seems to me that as the 18th century progresses, the attitudes tend to change and become a bit more fixed because the Ottoman Empire is seen as getting weaker. And this, and we'll talk about the war later on, and which was seen as one moment when the Ottoman Empire was clearly seen as weaker. So the fear of the Ottoman Empire that had existed for a long time declines a bit, but perhaps also there is less respect as the century goes on. Now, Volney, who is from the later part of the 18th century, really represents one extreme end of these views of the Ottoman Empire. He's extremely hostile, and sometimes his hostility seems to be absolutely visceral. In fact, he only visited it for quite a short time, which is different from a lot of other accounts of the Muslim world or the Ottoman Empire, which not always, but very often, were written by people who'd stayed there a lot longer, who were often consuls or merchants. Sometimes they knew the language, but not always, whereas Volney just visited it and then wrote these relatively hostile, well, very hostile pieces. The feeling I have is that Volney combines the hostility to the Muslim world, which had always existed since the beginning, with a hostility that comes from his being a philosophe. After all, the name Volney that he took, his name was Chateaubœuf, comes from a mixture of Voltaire and Ferney, which was where Voltaire lived at the end of his life, which shows his philosophe an anti-religious attitude. So he combines this hostility to the Muslim world, which was Christian, with a philosophical hostility to any religion, and therefore particularly one that he sees as fanatical and the enemy of progress, which is, of course, Islam. It's quite interesting that Volney is actually praised by the Abbé Bergier, who wrote a Dictionnaire de Théologie, which is pro-Christian and generally very hostile to the philosophe. But Bergier, in his article on Islam, actually praises Volney for his hostility to Islam. So you can see this mixture of these two attitudes. So I think that Volney is interesting because he represents this changed and much more rigid, in a way, attitude of the late 18th century, which in many ways continued into the 19th century.
Now, to return back to the passage we just heard, I was really struck by how Volney uses the plague rhetorically to assert the alleged incompetence of the Ottoman government. I know that in recent years historians have contested many of the charges raised by the Europeans against the Ottomans in the early modern period, but I still wanted to ask you, why is the plague so important for Volney's narrative? And was he alone in stressing this connection between the Turks and the plague at the time? I assume not.
It was not particular to Volney. Now, the plague is not central to his account, all right? That I chose this passage because it seemed to me particularly interesting. In fact, his account is much broader. He describes at length what he saw as the misery in the Ottoman Empire due to what he saw as misgovernment, which led to the destruction of agriculture, therefore poverty and mismanagement. And he reproduced many of the clichés that developed, well, had developed before the 18th century, but which were quite widespread in the 18th century, of Oriental despotism, for which for him, the Ottoman Empire was a leading representative. And Volney believed the Ottomans should be chased from Europe. So the plague is one example of this miserable situation. This is not new. You do find references to the plague in several other travellers throughout the century, and even before that. They often explain that the Turks didn't take precautions against the plague. To give but one example, there is a very influential account of the Ottoman Empire, which dates from the mid-17th century and was republished several times until the beginning of the 18th century by one of these people who stayed much longer, who was a consul, an English consul, and he represented the Levant Company, and he spent many years in Smyrna. That is Sir Paul Rico, who wrote The History of the Present State of the Ottoman Empire, published in the 1660s. And Rico also explained that when the plague came, when the Europeans fled, the Turks stayed with the sick, and he talked about wearing the clothes of those who died from the plague, which is also mentioned by Volney, and insists that lots of people die every year. Montesquieu, who read Rico, takes this over and also refers to it. Also, there are several articles in the French Encyclopédie, including the article on Turkey, which refers to the plague. So this connection between the plague and Islam exists in European minds. What I think is different about Volney is his virulence, which is much stronger than other people. But the other thing to note in this text, which is also, I think, particular to him, is his insistence that the plague comes from Constantinople, sometimes Smyrna, in any case, from the Ottoman Empire, and is not endemic elsewhere in the Middle East, despite what other travellers say. He refers to the fact that descriptions of Egypt very often mention plague and say that it's endemic to Egypt. And Volney says, no. It is brought from Turkey by boats. Right. So this sort of reinforces his hostility to the Ottoman Empire, defined by its incompetence and despotism.
One particular reason why the Turks supposedly did not handle the plague outbreaks very well, which Volney mentions in his account, is the doctrine of predestination. Can you explain this a bit more? What exactly is Volney referring to?
Yes, of course. This again is it's not only Volney that this is referred to by other people. In fact, in the original French, it is fatalisme, and he doesn't talk about a doctrine, he talks about this conviction, belief in fatalisme, fatalism, rather than predestination. Now, this is a view, a general view of Islam, that is the Muslim belief that everything is written beforehand, it's decided by God, and that the believer cannot change their destiny. It's quite interesting that in Europe, it was often referred to by certain groups. It was compared to the predestination of, precisely the predestination of the Calvinists. And so Calvinist enemies, not only the Catholics, but also other Protestant churches, sometimes therefore compared the Calvinists to the Muslims and said they had a lot in common and were all equally bad. More generally, though, fatalism is seen as a particular characteristic of Islam, and it's seen to account for the lack of progress that you find in the Ottoman Empire. People often talk about the laziness of the Turks. They just sit around and accept whatever happens. And so the refusal to take precautions against the plague is part of this.
That's fascinating. It will also be an interesting question to ask why the translator chose to then translate fatalism as the doctrine of predestination. Perhaps there's a slightly anti-Calvinist edge to it.
That's very possible. It's not at all unlikely, yes.
So let's move on to the second passage you prepared, which you are going to read in a minute. And it's from Volney's second book, Considerations on the War with the Turks, published in 1788, so about a year after his travels. Can you tell us a bit about the political context of this particular book?
Yes. This was published during the Russo-Turkish War, the war between the Russian Empire and the Turkish Empire, which began in 1787. This was published the following year. The war actually continued until 1792. It started in connection with, it was not the first war between the Russian and Turkish Empire, but it began after the Russian occupation of Crimea. And opinion in several European countries, in particular France, which is relevant here, was divided. The question was whether to defend the Ottoman Empire in order to prevent Russian expansion into the Mediterranean, which many European countries, not only France, but obviously Britain, were very much afraid of, or whether to take the side of the Turks to support the Ottoman Empire as a barrier to Russian expansion. And the French government supported the Ottomans out of fear of Russia. Volney criticized this position because, as I said slightly earlier, he thought it was necessary to expel the Ottomans from Europe. In fact, he criticised the previous foreign minister, Vergennes, who had just died, who he considered to have been pro-Turk. Vergennes had, in fact, been a consul in Turkey. Now, this work by Volney was criticised very strongly by other people who took the other side. For example, a former consul in Smyrna called Charles de Pissonnel, who attacked this work, he said that Volney was ignorant of the country and the situation, and he said he should perhaps read a bit more and he should visit it again. And he criticized Volney's favorable attitude to the Russians. And Pisonel even went as far as to say that, in fact, the Russians were more despotic than the Turks. So he rejected a lot of Volney's criticisms of the Turks, in fact. But at the same time, what he said was that it was necessary to for France to follow its own interests, and that its interests were to support the Ottomans, whereas Volney's position was purely moral opposition to the Turks, and that was not a position that could be defended. The same attitude was taken by other critics of Volney, in fact, who insisted that it was France's interest to support the Ottomans and to support and to oppose the Russians.
Next to China, there is certainly no trade shackled with so many difficulties as the Turkish. In first instance, it is by an absurd and preposterous privilege entirely confined to the town of Marseille, where all must be landed, be its destination where it may. But then the necessity of performing quarantine at Marseille entirely defeats that permission. Of all the reasons advanced in support of this practice, the best is the necessity of using every precaution against the plague. This scourge of the human race, having become epidemical in Turkey, has necessitated the Christian states adjacent to the Mediterranean Sea to subject their intercourse with that country to restrictions injurious to commerce, but indispensable to the safety of the people. But whence do all those shackles originate, but from the very empire which we are so anxious to preserve? Whoever, before the intrusion of the Ottomans, heard of a pestilence on the Mediterranean? This is a calamity introduced by the barbarians, whose stupid fanatism perpetuates the contagion by renewing its feeds. How much is the destruction of their empire to be wished on this account alone, and another established in its place that may emancipate both the land and the sea from this bondage?
Here, Volney's attack gets even more visceral. Turks are not only blamed for the economic consequences of the plague, they are almost equated with the plague itself. Why do you think does the fear of disease so easily give way to the fear of ethnic, cultural, or religious otherness?
Well, I wouldn't say quite that the fear of disease gives way to the fear of the other. It's perhaps more the other way around, because the fear of the other, this particular other, as I said slightly earlier, is a long-standing fear. Islam was the archetypal other for Christian Europe. Obviously, it was a competitor. It arrived after Christianity. It tried to transplant Christianity, to replace it. It took over the Roman and the Christian Mediterranean Sea. So this fundamental hostility to Islam and the Muslims, in fact, it continues today, I think we can see in the clash of civilizations. So this is a sort of the basic hostility which is there. It's fear of, as you say, the ethnic, the cultural, the ideological, and the religious other. But I think instead that this disease adds further reasons to reinforce this hostility. I think it's a bit like, you know, today President Trump insists on the Chinese disease because he has many reasons to hate the Chinese, and this is another one that has come along and can reinforce this hatred of the Chinese. The difference here is this isn't a new disease that's come along, but the disease is an added reason to justify this visceral hatred. So it links the fanatical religion, the despotism of the government, and the result of this despotism is the plague. And all of these go together and reinforce hostility of people like Volney to the Muslims in general and the Ottoman Empire in particular.
I was fascinated by Volney's discussion of the economic consequences of anti-plague measures, which kind of feels quite relevant for today when we are trying to strike a balance between protecting people's health on the one hand and the economy on the other. So I was wondering, to what extent was Volney's economic argument part of the popular anti-Ottoman prejudice in Europe? Do we have any evidence of how widespread these concerns might have been?
That is actually a very interesting question. And actually, I don't really think so. The hostility to the Ottomans is not generally accompanied by this economic hostility. In fact, on the contrary, for other people, the people who criticized Volney, if you think about economic concerns, it is more in favor of the Ottomans because they were very concerned with the trade. The trade with the Ottoman Empire was important. And as I said slightly earlier, Peysonel said that the French should support the Ottoman Empire for the interests. And these interests are economic. In fact, Peysonel gave figures to show how the French trade with the Ottoman Empire had been, in fact, increasing. And this is part of his criticism of what Volney had said. And he denied that the Ottoman Empire was harmful to French trade. He has a passage, in fact, saying that today people fight wars, not for glory or religion, but for commercial interests. And these are the interests. And he says, we must conserver notre commerce. We must preserve our trade. And therefore, the interest of the French is to fight the Russians and support the Ottomans. So it's really the opposite, in fact, of what Volney is saying. There is also another former consul in the Ottoman Empire called Louis de Chigné, who wrote a long work about Morocco. He also criticized Volney, and he said it was the French interest to support the Ottomans. So Volney's economic argument here doesn't seem to me to be particularly widespread. I think it's, well, it seems to me that it's more specific to Volney. And in fact, in the earlier text, he doesn't seem to think that the Lazaretti are so harmful to the French trade. In fact, in the original French version here, he doesn't only talk about the disease, but he talks about Lazaretti and the plague, where he says, whoever before the intrusion of the Ottomans had heard of a pestilence on the Mediterranean, in the French, he refers to both the plague and the Lazaretti. And so it's quite interesting that in the earlier version, he hadn't seemed to thought that they were an economic danger.
That's really interesting, yeah. When observing Volney as just one voice, you get a completely different picture when you add the whole context and all these other people responding to him and actually realizing that the debate is much more complex and not as straightforward as one would think, basing perhaps oneself only on one particular source.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So that's why I thought it'd be interesting to mention them as well.
A warm thank you to Professor Anne Thompson for joining us today and for generously sharing her fascinating research. Thanks also to my colleague Ian Hathaway for reading Volney's passages and to all our listeners who follow us and support our project. Thanks again for listening to the third episode of Experiencing Epidemics podcast. If you like what you've heard, please tune in again on the 6th of November when we consider the intricacies of running an early modern retirement home through a plague epidemic. Until next time.